Hello, welcome to Adults Do Disney. I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are two Disney nerds talking about doing Disney parks without children.
So we're mainly going to talk about the hotels and restaurants this time around, with particular reference to Florida and Paris, because that's our personal experience. However, the Disney parks are very similar to each other, so you can extrapolate what we say, and you can also refer to the ones in Shanghai and Hong Kong and Japan.
The principles are the same, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. They all work, I think, on a tiered basis, don't they? So there's the deluxe hotels, there's the moderate ones, and then there's the budget ones. And we're not really going to talk much about the budget ones either, actually, because they tend to be more for families with kids.
Certainly in Florida, the budget hotels are not particularly interesting for adults on their own. I think you'd feel like a bit of a wally staying in any of those ones. So those are the Pop Century hotels.
Pop Century, All Star Music, All Star Movies, All Star Sport, Art of Animation.
Yeah, there are a lot of big cartoonish colours and characters, and they're very, very much aimed at children. And I think you'd have a better time actually staying in a third party hotel or getting a villa.
Yeah, much, much cheaper. Way fewer kids running around.
Yeah.
The pool wouldn't be completely dominated by them.
Yeah.
Because those hotels, they look fun. They're still Disney orientated, but they're very much geared towards young kids as well.
And you are not going to feel immersed, which is the point of staying on property.
No, you're going to feel like you're in a kid's room.
Yeah.
Whereas it's very different for the others. So we stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge 2 years ago, which is one of the deluxe hotels. And the reason we were there is because we were getting married in Disney World. So we wanted to splash out, do a kind of once in a lifetime thing. So we went to the Animal Kingdom Lodge, but actually we got an incredible deal on Expedia.co.uk as well.
Yeah, that is a deal that we've not really seen the like of since. But yeah, it does go to show that if you shop around and don't necessarily do it too far in advance as well, that's another strange
thing. Yeah, because we did it about 3 months in advance and we went online and thought we're going to end up paying an absolute fortune. But in fact, what was it, about £1,500 or dollars?
I think it was pounds and it was each, but that was including flights. And that's still cheap.
And it was for 10 days.
For a deluxe Disney hotel, that's still very cheap.
And for deluxe Disney hotel, what do you get, Lawrence?
You get an extremely immersive, amazingly well-themed experience.
But it's not like I said, with the budget thing, you feel like, you'd probably feel like you were staying in a kid's room. You do not feel like that at the Animal Kingdom. It's all actually very, very
tasteful.
Elegant.
Tasteful and elegant.
Yeah.
If you pay the top dollar in that hotel, you look out of the window onto their savannah area, which is an area that has actual free roaming animals, giraffes and zebras and things. So that's pretty spectacular to wake up, go out onto your balcony each morning, have a coffee and watch a giraffe running around.
Yeah.
Although,
to be honest, most of the day they are napping, but you expect that. I mean, you don't expect the animals to be hopped up and performing for your...
Entertaining you.
Yeah.
But if you get up early in the morning, they're more likely to be walking around.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So you can kind of do a bit of animal watching.
And you can actually go out and sort of and go into the savannah to try and...
Yeah, they do actually even do little excursions out. You can get a little safari vehicle out into that savannah and go right up to them. But that's a thing that you can also do to some extent with the Kilimanjaro safaris in the actual Animal Kingdom park.
Yeah. So the room, the kind of room that you get in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, you've mentioned to me on another occasion that American families might actually find the rooms quite small because they're used to...
They are small by American standards, even in the deluxe rooms.
However, by European standards, they're great.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two double beds. In our room, there were two double beds.
Yeah.
There was a really nice bathroom. There was a kind of a double sink area just outside the bathroom so that you can get ready in. There was a fridge.
You get a fridge and a kettle and a microwave.
Do you get a microwave as well?
I think you possibly even do. Yeah, yeah. I think you do get a microwave.
Yeah. It's set up so that they don't expect you to only eat in the Disney restaurants. They do acknowledge the fact that that would cost a fortune.
Yeah, people are going to come and go.
Yeah, and you can get bigger rooms, of course. I think we had a very standard kind of room, didn't we?
We went for the standard double, basically. which is, yeah, it's one of the cheaper rooms in that hotel, which is still an expensive room in an expensive hotel.
We tried to get upgraded by going, you know, getting married this week.
I'm looking forward to our wedding day, which is this week.
Yes.
Wink, wink.
Special. But unfortunately,
she gave us a very polite Disney smile and did nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, worth a try.
It's fine. It's magical enough.
Always
anyway.
Worth a try. The lobby itself is spectacular.
Yeah.
It's a really very beautiful hotel, as all of the deluxe hotels are. And there are two restaurants. Well, there is normally three restaurants in each hotel, isn't there?
Yeah, so you get the super posh one, you get the medium posh one, and then you get the fast food outlet.
Yeah.
And the fast food outlet is fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah.
It's expensive with regards to normal fast food, but it's not expensive with regards to Disney food.
It's not expensive by Disney standards.
No.
And a good thing about all of these hotels is you really will want to probably go and explore all of them.
Yeah.
Certainly the deluxe ones are all worth a visit. They're evenings of entertainment in and of themselves.
Yeah.
You have live music in quite a few of them, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, so at the Grand Floridian, which is one of the hotels just outside of the Magic Kingdom, they have an amazing jazz band.
There was pretty much a sort of hot jazz quintet playing pretty much at all times, I think, in that lobby, which is spectacular.
Yeah, and I believe the moderate priced hotel, which one is it?
The Port Orleans, is it?
Yeah, one of those has some jazz as well.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because that's all New Orleans themed.
Yeah. So there's a couple of those moderate ones which are very nice as well, and they'll make you feel like a proper adult.
Yeah,
because
so
that's
the moderate
the point
ones
of these.
Are Caribbean Beach Resort, Port Orleans, French Quarter and Riverside and Coronado Springs. Yeah, none of those feel like they're kiddie themed at all, do they?
No, you said earlier that the Port Orleans ones are actually quite romantic.
Yeah, because it's got that sort of old French feel.
Yeah, which is a Louisiana thing, isn't it? And it's all been very well observed. As usual.
And kids wouldn't appreciate that at all.
No.
They'd just think it was another fancy hotel. But for an adult, you realise that it's a fancy hotel that's got a really beautiful theming.
Yeah.
Really consistent theming.
There's
as well.
A story going on in each of these hotels.
There's even different food as well. So, for instance, in the Animal Kingdom Lodge, it's African, different African cuisines. And the Boma restaurant is a buffet-style one. So you can try absolutely everything. So apart from your typical Mickey waffles in the morning, you can actually have all this brilliantly authentic world food.
Yeah.
And it's the same with, I think, I can't remember what it is, but the Orleans one has got some French, Louisiana-style
sort of,
cuisine.
Yeah, like Cajun food, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the nice thing about the two Port Orleans resorts is that those are two of the ones where you can actually get a boat to some of the parks, which is a nice thing to do, certainly. I think the boat from those ones goes to Epcot.
Right.
Which then connects you via monorails and stuff to all the other parks.
Yeah. So if you're staying in one of the Disney hotels, you will be able to actually park at any of the Disney hotels.
Yeah.
So what you could do if you were staying at the Wilderness Lodge. You could actually, where they do good barbecue because it's wilderness.
They do. That's a kind of Davy Crockett theme.
Yeah. And then you could drive to one of the others, enjoy the different style of bar, the different style of restaurants at one of the other ones. And then you could park in their car park and use their transport to get to whatever Disney park that you want to as well. And then you could come back to it, pick your car up and go home again.
And go off to wherever you are.
Yeah.
The one thing we should say is that if you are staying in a third party hotel, you can't park in the Disney resort car park.
Does that go for the Dolphin and the Swan as well? Because there's these two hotels which are quite near the boardwalk in Florida, which aren't Disney, but they do have a close relationship with Disney, so they get certain perks. I
imagine because they're actually on Disney property, I imagine that is the same with them as well.
So you can use the other car parks.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
But you probably can't stay elsewhere and park in the car parks of the Swan and Dolphin resorts.
Oh, right. Yeah. So there's going to be different rules and everything, but actually they facilitate it as much as possible that you can go to these different bars and restaurants within these different hotels.
Yeah, you can explore. And I think they want you to and they expect you to.
Yeah, of course.
Because they don't expect that you'll just go to the parks. I think there's a reason why they call all of the hotels resorts.
Yeah.
Because they really are little resorts in and of themselves. They all have amazing pools. if you're into that. And they've got lots of shops and restaurants and weird stuff.
Bars and everything. Yeah.
There's little details. You go around a corner and there'll be a sort of a weird photo op where you can stand on the bow of a ship and things like that. There's a really good ice cream parlor underneath the beach club.
Oh, yeah, I love that entire area. So the beach club is quite near... That's a walk from Epcot, isn't it?
Yeah, so around Epcot, you have a lake which has three deluxe hotels around it. The beach club, the yacht club, and the boardwalk. The boardwalk is absolutely stunning. Mm. That's where we actually got married, the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And it is a sort of 1920s sort
boardwalk.
Of...
Boardwalk? It's an actual... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's a proper boardwalk.
It's set up like that. So so everything is themed towards that. So the ice cream parlors look like ye olde ice cream parlors.
Yeah.
You've got sweet shops with massive glass jars full of things.
You feel like you should very much be wearing a boater hat while you're walking along there.
And actually, I think you could probably hire one or something.
You can.
You certainly can hire a little...
Sorry.
Not unicycle.
A surrey. That's what they're called.
A surrey. What is it?
It's like a two-person pedalled golf cart, essentially.
That's it. Yeah. So you can hire that to go up and down the boardwalk, but it's not so massive that you need it. It's just fun.
That's for fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's super atmospheric. And they have some nightclubs there.
They do.
They have Jelly Roll's Piano Bar,
mm.
Which is, as it sounds, a piano bar where you've got two hilarious pianists who will take requests. And that goes well into the night. And you also have the dance hall, which looks like a beautiful old 1920s dance hall. And then is actually just a nightclub.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you could go there in your 50s gear with your jive shoes on or whatever. But
you might feel a bit silly.
Yeah. Although you probably wouldn't, actually, because I think anything goes around there. And because of the theming, people might think you work there. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I wonder if actually, because they know you're not allowed as an adult to go into the Disney parks in cosplay.
Oh, no. No, because in case the little kiddies think that you are actually a weird-looking princess.
Yeah, and then you say something horrendously racist to them or something. They don't want their brand to be sullied by people wearing cosplay.
By out-of-control cast members, basically.
But it does feel like that is the sort of place where you could have a nice themed party if you wanted.
Oh, what? The boardwalk? Absolutely. I mean, like we said, we actually got married there because there's a tiny little bit that juts out that is, what's it called?
Sort of a gazebo.
Sea Breeze Point, it's called. Yeah, and it's like a covered...
gazebo.
Couldn't think of the bleeding name.
Yeah,
and it looks out onto the lake, and it's absolutely picturesque and lovely. And in fact, there's also the prow of a sunken pirate ship.
Yeah, that's attached to the beach club, which is across the lake.
Yeah,
which is another one of the very nice deluxe hotels around.
And they've got a little fake beach there as well.
Yeah, and
a lot of fake sand.
They do outdoor movies as well.
Yeah.
That's another thing they do. Yeah, that feels like a very adult area, actually.
Yeah.
It's no surprise it's next to Epcot, which is kind of considered to be an adult park.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, people do drinking around Epcot, don't they?
Yeah.
So you can get a shot of whatever nationality booze.
Nationals.
Within Epcot.
Yeah.
And you can go around from different place to different place. So Epcot is like a collection of like Little England and Little Japan and Little whatever.
Yeah, the World Showcase is like, has pavilions from each country.
Yeah, so you can go and have a lager in Britain and then go and have some sake in Japan, et cetera. So people do this thing where they drink around Epcot.
So that's the thing. We'll probably talk about that in another episode.
Yeah. But as for the dining opportunities and the hotels on the boardwalk, they are well worth a visit. Absolutely.
We did have a slightly strange experience in one of the restaurants in the boardwalk where we got a waitress who was so thoroughly Disney-fied that she'd kind of fallen out the other end of customer service and ended up basically as an animatronic.
Yeah, she was so mechanical, it was ridiculous.
We decided that she was one of Walt's original designs. She was, what did she say? She sort of came in and did a sort of, hello, help me take your order.
Oh, no, well, she introduced herself and everything was so sort of, I could be talking to anyone right now, so everything just sounded pre-recorded.
I mean, it was like, she was approaching everything with the customary Disney politeness, but it had just gone to another level.
Yeah, because it was quite forceful, her delivery as well.
Yeah.
And also there was a glaze over her eyes.
She's rather elderly.
It was quite disconcerting.
Yeah. However, it was a very nice restaurant.
Oh, yeah, and they're all great. I mean, the people who... the customer service is second to none,
isn't it? Yes, top notch.
They're so friendly, and it doesn't seem forced, apart from that woman.
Yeah.
Who was definitely a bit dead behind the eyes. Generally speaking, people seem to love their job at
they
Disney.
Do.
And you get a lot of elderly people doing the customer service as
That's
well.
That's true, actually, yeah.
You get a lot of Father Christmas type men.
You get a lot of twinkly old men and
Mrs. Christmas type women.
Characterful old mumsy fairy godmother types.
Yeah, which is nice. It really adds something to the whole experience,
it
I
does.
Think, when it's not just, you know, a sporty teenager.
Yeah, and it must be, you must think it must be quite a nice place to work if people who are retirement age are happily continuing to work there.
Unless, of course, you know, it's all about the healthcare and they have to keep working. So.
Well, that's another possibility. But we'll leave
anyway,
it,
oh, what
leave
we should talk about as well, the Star Wars hotel that's confirmed is coming. Where is that going to be?
So the Star Wars hotel is going to be right next to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, which is
Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios, yeah. So they couldn't really put it anywhere else because apparently there's going to be a lot of actual immersive characters walking around in the hotel.
Because there are no
the
other
way.
Hotels by Hollywood Studios, are there?
There are a few that are close, but there are none that are sort of immediately on it, I don't think. But the extraordinary thing about this is that they are kind of trying a new hotel experience, really. You can only stay there for a maximum of 2 nights.
God, it's nothing, is it?
Well, no, but it's going to cost reportedly $1,000 per person per night.
Wow.
To stay in the Star Wars hotel.
Jeez. I'd want to be sucked off by Admiral Akbar.
Admiral Akbar. Well, maybe you can. Maybe that is a storyline that you can live. Because the idea of it is, it's not just a hotel. You will have a story happen to you and you will be involved in a story as you stay there. And so you will have costume characters walking around. There will be droids. Apparently, there's going to be free roaming droids.
But not really. I mean, there'll be people in costumes.
No,
they
are droids.
Well, they're actual.
Yeah, they're
mechanical
rolling.
Mechanical people.
They're rolling robots.
Wow.
They're basically, you know, you get those vacuum cleaners that sort of wander around your house. Yeah. And suck up the.
They can't have two small ones. Someone would just put it in their bag and get.
No, they're not going to do that. But they're going to have. They've been prototyping this one that's just been at the D23 Expo in Anaheim, where they talk about all of the new Imagineering stuff they're doing. And this thing was rolling around, which is like a sort of a combination of a BB droid, like BB-8 from Force Awakens, and also Rex, the pilot of the old Star Tours, if you remember him, who was like a sort of. Kind of cylindrical guy with long arms and a sort of flat head. And so this droid character rolls around and it has a sort of limited area which it's allowed to roam in. And it uses radio frequency stuff to interact with various objects around it. So you know how in Star Wars the droids can open doors by putting in a little thing into a socket? They apparently are going to be able to do that. So they can actually go around and interact with the environment and interact with people, and they won't bump into anyone either because they've got the sensors and stuff to deal with that. So they're going to have actual free roaming droids in both the hotel and in the park.
I bet you anything, when you get into your room, there'll be a screen and there'll be Akbar or whatever.
Akbar will be there to greet you.
Yeah, yeah.
I imagine so.
By name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can see here that this is your bed.
And then I assume you get a mission or something, don't
you? I think you kind of do. I think there's a certain amount of, you can volunteer, you can decide how immersive you want your experience to be.
For is it pounds or dollars?
Dollars.
You'd want it to be pretty immersive.
Yeah. And I think you can basically choose to have. You can either just stay in this kind of very detailed, immersive hotel environment, or you can have a kind of a plot mission thing which takes you around the park and you interact with, you must go here and meet a shady character. So it's kind of like a live adventure game element they're testing out.
Yeah. I know the price is steep, but that's going to be booked up.
It will.
For donkeys.
I mean, I would pay it.
Yeah.
I would pay it for an immersive Star Wars experience. Yes, please.
Yeah, see, the thing is, you're always going to get the person who is happy to pay it and their partner who is perfectly fine with going along with it, but it keeps saying stupid things like, what's that fish man?
Oh, it's Admiral Akbar.
Oh my God, Lindsay. Yeah,
you're really taking me out of this immersive experience.
I wonder what the food's going to be like, because obviously there'll be three tiers of restaurants.
Blue milk.
Probably. Blue milk.
It's going to be blue milk.
That's all it is.
And Kessel Lager.
Wow. Yeah,
that's all you can have, blue milk.
Cool.
But apparently there is going to be a cantina. And the nice thing about the actual theme park, the Galaxy's Edge theme park, is they're planning to raise it very tall. Because most of the parks and all of the buildings in Florida actually are very low lying. It's a very flat country, and generally people don't build up very high. But the idea is that with Galaxy's Edge, they're going to build up quite a few stories higher than the other things around. So when you're in the middle of it, you really won't be able to see beyond the mountains and the trees and the high buildings of Mos Eisley or whatever this planet is that you are inhabiting in the Star Wars universe. So they really are going for immersive in a big way here.
Yeah.
And the same is apparently going to be true of the hotel. So you know how with a lot of the time with the hotels, you know, they're very beautiful and they are obviously very nicely themed, but at their heart, they are essentially a modern hotel room.
Yeah.
And although you might have very beautiful wallpaper and designs and stuff, it is all fairly standard. I think that is not going to be the case with the Star Wars hotel.
Right.
It's going
to be...
I
don't know how standard it is. I mean, we had Timon and Pumbaa neck curtains in
sure.
our hotel.
But, like, I gather each room in the Star Wars hotel is going to have a galaxy view.
Cool.
So in other words, you don't necessarily have a window, but you do have essentially an enormous flight deck cockpit screen out of which you look and see the galaxy.
There'll be a budget wing where it replicates sleeping in some sort of spaceship, you know, so ship's cabin sort of crampedness.
Oh, well, that's a possibility,
isn't
it? And
that'd be cheaper, perhaps.
That would be a good budget wing.
Only $995.
Yeah, that's the cheap option. They are also doing, on a slight sideline here, they are bringing a new thing to Epcot next to the Mission Space attraction, where they're having a space-themed restaurant with a huge, huge screen... which supposedly, you know, is to make you feel like you are floating in the ISS.
Nice.
Or something.
What's the food like? Nutrition tablets.
Yeah, it's probably all like bags of astronaut food, isn't it?
I don't know, but that's not really satisfying, is it?
Well, I imagine they'll find a fun way of doing it.
Yeah, I bet it'll be a lot of weird mousses and things.
Yeah, probably will. Yeah.
Everything will come out of some kind of squeezy tube thing.
Yeah. However, we could probably talk about food in another episode.
Yeah, true.
So
let's do a quick note about Paris as well.
Yeah.
So Paris is about four, five
Paris has
hotels.
Six, I believe.
Ah.
So the hotels in Paris are the Cheyenne and the Santa Fe, which are the budget hotels.
Oh, that's right. They're cowboy themed, aren't
yeah.
they? Yeah. You've stayed there.
I have. And this is an interesting point. I'll come back to this in a second. The Hotel New York and the Newport Bay Club and the Sequoia Lodge. There's five. Yeah, those are the five hotels.
Disneyland Hotel.
Oh, and the Disneyland Hotel, of course. Yes.
Oh, and Davy Crocker campsite.
Davy Crockett Ranch, which is some way off. That's off...
Davy Crocker.
Davy Crocker. He's a bloke.
Dave
Crocker. He's got...
He sells you spoons.
You want a place near Paris to buy your spoons, you go to Davy Crocker.
Got a lovely spoon here.
Yeah.
It's,
anyway.
It's to you, for your face.
But the interesting thing about the official Disney hotels in Paris is that the two budget ones, the Santa Fe and the Cheyenne, are actually pretty good. They're the best ones. I would recommend staying in them over some of the other ones.
So they're not like the budget ones in Florida, the Pop Century Art of Animation, where it's all kind of like, Capel, big and fun and stupid.
They're not like that at all.
Right.
The Santa Fe is sort of New Mexico themed, so it kind of looks like something from Breaking Bad.
It's all one story, isn't it?
Not quite, but it's all these sort of adobe type buildings.
Okay.
It's pretty low.
It's a computer program.
It's lots of different kind of small buildings, quite spread out. It's not massively exciting, but it's not bad. You won't feel like an idiot staying in there.
Isn't the restaurant quite good?
In the Santa Fe?
Yeah, doesn't it feel like an Old West tavern?
Ah, no, you're thinking of the Cheyenne.
Okay.
The Cheyenne is really good. That was the one I was going to come to now. That is actually, I think, the best hotel to stay in Disneyland Paris.
Right.
And I've stayed in there. And that's a full Wild West, American Old West town. So you might stay in like the saloon or, the jail or the bank or something.
That's fun.
Which is really fun. And I think they're all divided up into like the Annie Oakley wing and stuff like that.
When we wandered into Disneyland Hotel, because again, it's well worth going and checking them out, even if you're not staying there.
Yeah.
But when we went into Disneyland Hotel, I did think, oh, this is sort of old lady themed. Because it's a lot of floral and curly legs on tables.
It's a bit like staying in Barbara Cartland's handbag.
Yeah, well, not quite as... I think that would be an overwhelming explosion of pink.
It's pretty pink, though.
It's more like a dusty rose.
Yeah, okay.
Because there's something about it. It's kind of a relation of the Floridian, isn't it? Grand Floridian, sorry. Floridian.
The Floridian. Pirates of the Floridian.
It's a relation of that.
Yeah, it's similar.
Because it's lots of curly Victoriana.
It's high Victorian.
However, it's the more chintzy end of it. It's more doilies under teacups the Disneyland Hotel.
And it's very expensive. I think it's actually, when you factor in the exchange rate, it's actually more expensive than any of the Florida ones, which is ludicrous.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is
also
crazy.
Also, I don't think it necessarily feels Disney.
No.
It's got the kind of like attention to detail of Disney, but it doesn't actually have the warmth and modern elements.
Well,
of Disney.
I think the thing that about it is I don't feel like I'm being transported somewhere else.
No.
Which is, I think, quite an important aspect of what a Disney hotel feels like it should feel.
I don't know. Or where you're being transported to. It doesn't feel particularly Disney, I don't think.
Yeah, it's
Or did you just feel like, that it was more of a facade than the other?
I just feel like it's a kind of a very posh, nice hotel that actually you could find anywhere.
Right. Yeah.
The only thing I'd say that hotel might have going for it is that if you stay in the rooms on one side of it, you literally look down Main Street.
Yeah.
You open your window each day and you're staring at the castle down Main Street. So if you're made of money, then that probably is quite cool.
Yeah, and actually on the outside, the hotel looks fantastic as well, doesn't it? Because you actually, you walk through, under it basically, don't you, in order to get to the park.
That the park entrance is the underside of that hotel.
Yeah, right? And that's a brilliant way to walk up to the park. It looks great. It really sets the old pulse racing and everything.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, actually, I think you're right. It's more exciting to stay in Cowboyland.
I would say actually the two budget hotels in Disneyland Paris are the ones to go for.
And I think Hotel New York looks like poo-poo.
It's rubbish. It's really quite
doesn't
bad.
It look like New York on the outside.
It looks like nothing. It's really uninspired. The Sequoia Lodge is okay. It's a little bit wilderness lodgy, but it's still not very exciting. There's got quite a nice buffet in there.
Right.
So that's not a bad place to go for a meal.
Right.
And the Newport Bay Club is okay as well. It's similar to the Beach Club.
Aren't they changing the Hotel New York?
Yes, they are. The Hotel New York, at some point, is going to become Marvel themed.
Cool!
But it's not going to be immersive like the Galaxy's Edge Hotel.
So it's going to be things behind glass.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It's going to be the I think at D23 they talked about it being basically like a modern art gallery. So it's a little, it's not quite so exciting.
Although if they Marvel up the rooms, that's quite cool.
Yeah.
And presumably the outside they're going to do something with, because at the moment, poo-poo.
It's
pretty
rubbish.
It actually is very brown.
It's brown.
It's the outside looks like a strange, lots of tiny windows.
It looks
and
like
very brown.
It looks weirdly a little bit like one of Mary Blair's bits of artwork. It looks like the front of It's a Small World, slightly.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but brown.
But kind of brown, and with all of the kind of joy of that It's a Small World removed. It's bad. It's a badly designed hotel, and it's in dire need of something. So I think the Marvel overlay is a good thing. And that will probably make it very kid-friendly.
Oh, Newport Bay Club actually looked very nice.
It's okay, yeah.
It's got a nice little lighthouse thing.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
You can stay in, can't you, as well?
Oh, I don't know. Can you?
I don't know. I might have invented that.
Oh, you should be.
Or I might have been like, you should be, yeah.
I think maybe we said you should be able to stay in there. Yeah. I don't know whether you actually can.
I also think, okay, here's another brilliant idea that I had before I heard about the Star Wars hotel.
Yeah.
Which was, I really like the Twilight Zone themed ride.
Mm.
Even though I've just completely mental blanked on what it's called.
Tower of Terror.
That's it. So I love the theming of the Tower of Terror. And of course, that is supposed to be a hotel, isn't it?
Yeah.
The whole theming of that ride is that it's a hotel. So why don't you have a hotel that's themed like the Tower of Terror?
So you want to be able to stay in a haunted hotel.
Yeah.
With cobwebs and stuff and scary lift shaft lifts and people going around in doomy.
How brilliant would that be? I mean, for one, cool. On Halloween, oh my God, it'd be spectacular if you went to stay in this hotel. Yeah. But just all the year round. And imagine the goths and emos of the world and anyone who likes that kind of theming, any of the steampunk guys and anything. Can you imagine staying there?
I would definitely stay there.
Yeah, with creepy bellhops taking you up and everything.
But this is the thing. This is what this is like, because, you know, you would never get young children staying there. It would be completely
This is another
out of the question
Disney thing.
And Disney probably would never do that because they've always got to keep their family-oriented thing. But it would be great. I feel like it's the sort of thing that Universal might do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because actually you wouldn't want it ruined by having, like, a Mickey skin character going, oh, I've got sharp teeth like Dracula.
Yeah, yeah. See, now, Disney's whole thing about Halloween is Mickey's not-so-scary Halloween party. Which is rubbish.
Yeah, yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
You want it to be scary.
Yeah, which is weird, isn't it? Because then you have something like the Tower of Terror, which is genuinely quite unnerving, I think.
Yeah. I think what they've decided is that they're going to keep the scary rides and elements to... They're going to keep the scary elements to the rides, and they're not going to bring any of that immersion into the hotels. But it is a bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Because that would be really good.
I think a spooky hotel, my God, I think that's the best business idea ever.
I think it would be a hit.
Apart from Star Wars Hotel, which is also quite a good idea.
It would be another deluxe thing that you'd pay top dollar for.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you'd put it. Possibly also by Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Hammer horror kind of elements to it.
Yeah, classic horror hotel would be brilliant.
Yeah.
So that's our plan.
Yep.
And then I suppose the other thing we should talk quickly about is Cinderella Castle.
Yeah, yeah, let's finish with the idea of staying in Cinderella Castle. So you can actually do that. In Florida, there is a room, there's a couple of rooms, I believe, as in it's all part of one suite. There's a suite
it's
in
a suite.
Cinderella Castle.
Yeah.
And didn't they originally set it up for Walt?
No, because Walt had died by the time Walt Disney World was...
Oh, I thought it was an office or something that then became a storage unit.
He had an office on Main Street, didn't he?
Oh, okay. Right. So they actually specifically set this up to stay in.
I think so. And I think it's... Disney have a policy with this room where you can't book it. No matter how much money you have or who you are, you can't book it. They have to give it to you.
Yeah.
So someone, I think someone either every day or on every some occasion... just gets randomly selected to stay in that hotel.
Yes,
in that room in the Cinderella Castle Hotel.
Yeah, so it's at the discretion of a cast member. And so they'll pick out someone that they think is deserving of having a stay in the Cinderella. And it's exactly what it looks exactly what it sounds like as well. So you can find pictures on the internet of what this place looks like.
And it's not like... we are not talking like this is a hotel room that happens to be in a spectacular building. It really is like the theming continues into that room.
Yeah, yeah. So it's in Cinderella's actual castle, looking down, looking over the park. You get to stay overnight in the park, although they do close the park down. So I don't know.
You must have a porter or something that is there that all.
Do they lock you in though? Because otherwise, you'd go for a walk, wouldn't you?
I expect you'd probably have to go past a security guard who would ask you where you were going. They probably have a porter in the.
Feels more like Rapunzel. They should have a witch
it's
stopping
a little
you
bit
from
Rapunzel,
leaving.
However, why would you want to leave if you're staying in the Cinderella Castle hotel?
And I think you get a special meal and all the rest of it.
I think
as well.
You get the works.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you could be incredibly rich and say, "I will give you millions of pounds to stay here," and they still say
still say no. So no matter what kind of horrible privileged prince or princess you are. You can't.
Tough.
You can't stay there. You have to be gifted it.
Mm.
Which isn't that just such a nice thing?
That is. That's magic.
That's magic. And that is also kind of very Disney. And I think that's the sort of thing that would also be lost on children.
I don't know, actually. No, I can imagine if I was a kid and we won a
stay. Oh, yeah,
no.
If you actually win it, that's different. But I expect that sort of backstory. I imagine you'd tell a child and they'd go, eh.
Oh, no. I can imagine going to school and being like, and no one else can stay there because I'm special.
But just hearing about it. The overwhelming chances are that you are not going to be selected to stay in that hotel.
No, true.
But the idea that it could happen, I think that's a rather special thing.
I think, unfortunately, though, I wouldn't be surprised if they do pick a family with kids.
Of course they would, yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine probably in practice, there's probably quite a few of the Make-A-Wish kids that...
Yeah, I imagine.
Which is totally fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's just great that it's there.
However, if you're adults on your own in the park, just grab a couple of kids.
Yeah.
And just grab maybe them. That's enough. No, I'm not condoning that.
We cannot condone that.
Do not take anyone's children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do not grab kids, okay?
In the Disney parks or otherwise.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it, kids. If you take one thing away from this podcast,
maybe
it's that.
Maybe we should end it.
Maybe
there.
We should. However, that's a pretty good ending, I think.
Yeah.
So, that's a kind of slightly rambly introduction to a load of Disney hotels.
What are we going to talk about next time? We could talk about Disney weddings.
Oh, yeah, why not? Let's get straight into that.
Yeah, because we got married at Disney.
We have direct experience of Disney weddings.
And we watched every YouTube video of every Disney wedding of ours.
Yeah, and surprisingly, they're all quite similar.
Yeah.
But
and it... really, really borderline, like, a bit sad.
But we were just as sad. However, it's very much worth doing and worth talking about.
Yeah, so that'll be next time.
Next time.
Bye-bye now!
Bye-bye now!
No, it's crusty again.
Yeah. So, thanks very much for listening, and please do email us with any thoughts you may have about the best places to stay or any other future hotels. You can email us at adultsdodisney@gmail.com, and also go onto Facebook... /adultsdodisney and talk to us on Twitter @adultsdodisney. Send us your thoughts. Bye.
Bye.